We shall begin the public worship of God by reading in order to sing to his praise from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, from verse 1. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee. All thine iniquities who doth most graciously forgive, who thy diseases all and pains doth heal and be relieved, who doth redeem thy life, that thou to death mayest not go down, who thee with loving kindness doth and tender mercies crown, who with abundance of good things doth satisfy thy mouth, so that, even as the eagle's age, renewed is thy youth. God righteous judgment executes for all oppressed ones, his ways to Moses, he his acts made known to Israel's sons. The Lord our God is merciful, and he is gracious, long-suffering and slow to wrath, in mercy plenteous. And we will sing the first six stanzas of this psalm, Psalm 103, from verse 1, six stanzas to the praise of God. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord.
O thou, my soul, bless God. Amen.
In the way that they should go. And thou didst reveal thy holy law to them, a law that if they lived by, they would be saved. And grant, O Lord, that we would see that we cannot look to the law for salvation, but we must look to Jesus, who obeyed thy law and suffered thy wrath and curse. And this is the foundation of our acceptance with thee. And grant, O Lord, that we would thank thee that thy law is revealed, but not only so, the one who fulfilled the law has been revealed as well. And this is the righteousness of God which is manifested, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And grant, O Lord, that we would give thanks to thee this morning for the unspeakable gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ. For life and salvation is through him, and the bundle of life is in him, and it is all through thy own gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Enable us to confess to thee that we do not deserve everlasting life. We do not deserve the free gift of life through Jesus Christ, for the wages of sin is death. What we deserve is eternal punishment, because every sin, both original sin, that is the sin of our nature, and actual sin, the sin of our thoughts and words and actions, Every sin deserves thy wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come. We deserve to be left to our own devices, to be abandoned to evil practices, to be given over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are inconvenient, that are even against nature. We deserve to be bound over to the wrath of God and curse of the law, and never to see light, but only to anticipate eternal darkness forever and ever, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. O Lord, enable us to acknowledge this is what we deserve. This is the just deserts of our nature and our practice, what we have merited by our evil works, our dead works, which lead to death. What we do not deserve is everlasting blessedness, and this is the free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Enable us then by almighty grace to receive this gift and to thank thee from the heart for it, and to be thankful by receiving it. For if we do not receive it, we reject it, and we are not thankful for it, but are still going on in the path of disobedience. O Lord, enable us to see the two alternatives, and that there is no in between. Then grant that we would be alarmed, awakened, and earnest in the way of salvation, seeking that we might find, knocking that the door might be opened, asking earnestly that we might receive, the gift, which is absolutely free, that is not given because of our seeking. It is not given because we have earned it by our diligence. But, O Lord, may we see that both must take place, and that through diligence thou art pleased to bestow the gift, and through seeking, and through asking, and through knocking, applying these means diligently in these ways, through these means, not on account of them, but through them, we will receive the blessing. And grant, O Lord, then, that we would lay hold of the freeness of salvation, that we would receive and rest upon Christ alone for salvation, that we would take what is freely given, that we would embrace what is freely offered, that we would be by thy grace persuaded and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. And grant that we would praise thee for the free gift by living a life that glorifies thee, that we would be obedient to thy will and thy law, not so that we may be accepted with thee, but to show our thankfulness for the free offer of the gospel, to show our thankfulness for the life and salvation that is through Jesus Christ. Enable us to go forward in the path of obedience, and doing that out of love to Christ. As Paul the Apostle says, the love of Christ constraineth us. For we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them, and rose again. And may we truly acknowledge the unfathomable gift and fact of Christ laying down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who of us can find in our hearts to do so? It is not by nature, but this is what Christ came to do. This is what he did. He finished the work, and he shows his amazing love to his people by laying down his life for them. And may we also then be willing, by thy grace, as a fruit of the Spirit, to lay down our lives for the brethren, that we would be foregoing our privileges and our rights, as it were, in order for the good of the cause, and that we would seek not so much the good of ourselves as the good of our neighbor and the good of the cause of Christ and our brothers and sisters in Christ. may we truly be thy people, and have a true love of the brethren, and therefore show that we are the disciples of Christ. And may we truly seek the good of thy cause, seeking thy blessing upon thy word this morning, and elsewhere in this land, and wherever thy word is either read or preached throughout this whole world. May sinners everywhere be under the sound of the gospel, and may thy word where it is preached be blessed, so that sinners might be delivered from the power of darkness, Satan losing his disciples, and Christ gaining true disciples who love him and serve him, so that the kingdom of Satan might be destroyed, and the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and may the kingdom of glory be hastened, when every eye shall see him come with clouds, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. For thy people it will be a blessed moment, and may this be a ground of their motivation as they go forward in this week that has begun, this Sabbath day, in the path of obedience, knowing that there remaineth a rest to the people of God, and that they will hear the Lord Jesus tell them and assure them, blessed are ye of my Father, great is your joy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, when they will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And help us then in this wilderness journey to look to thee for help, that thou wouldst bless those who are in a particularly afflicted condition, and grant healing to their bodies in thy will, and bless afflictions to them, deliver them out of these difficulties if it be thy will, and grant to assure them that thou dost love them, and nothing shall be able to separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant to strengthen thy cause amongst us here, be with each family, each individual. Thou knowest our various particular needs, and thou art able to supply all our needs according to thy riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thou art able to deliver us from spiritual calamities, spiritual conflicts, and bruise Satan under our feet shortly. Help thy poor, afflicted people, tossed and tempted and not comforted. Assure them that though thou dost forsake them for a moment, thou wilt with everlasting kindness show mercy to them. Be gracious to them. Be with each one of us now. Bless thy word to us, and grant liberty in speaking and in hearing. Hear us, we pray, and forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall read from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called unto him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And may the Lord bless the reading of this chapter of his own holy word. And let us continue to sing to God's praise, and we shall sing from Psalm 49. Psalm 49, reading from verse 1. Hear this, all people, and give ear, all in the world that dwell, both low and high, both rich and poor. My mouth shall wisdom tell. My heart shall knowledge meditate. I will incline mine ear to parables, and on the heart my sayings dark declare. Amidst those days that evil be, why should I, fearing doubt, when on my heels the iniquity shall compass me about? Whoe'er they be that in their wealth their confidence do pitch, and boast themselves, because they are become exceeding rich, yet none of these his brother can redeem by any way, nor can he unto God for him sufficient ransom pay. Their soul's redemption precious is, and it can never be, that still he should forever live, and not corruption see. For why? He seeth that wise men die, and brutish fools also do perish, and their wealth, when dead, to others they let go. Their inward thought is, that their house and dwelling places shall stand through all ages. They their lands by their own names do call, but yet in honor shall not man abide continually, but passing hence may be compared unto the beasts that die. So on we will sing from verse 1, Psalm 49 from verse 1, 6 stanzas, to the praise of God. Hear this, all people, and give ear, all in the world that dwell.
It is Sure.
Unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Two disciples had asked the Lord Jesus a grand favor, and this made the other disciples angry. Why should James and John have such distinction in the kingdom of Christ? But they were mistaken about the spiritual nature of his kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus would not be like the kingdoms of this world. Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. That is the way the world is. There's a hierarchy, there is authority, and there are certain individuals who exercise that authority over others. There is this lordship over them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Those who would be great in the kingdom of Christ would be those who are servants. True greatness in Christ's kingdom is characterized by service. The ones who are the most humble are the ones who are the most honorable. Those who would be and highly esteemed in the kingdom of Christ are the ones who would serve. This is the teaching of Christ. Those who humble themselves will be exalted, while those who exalt themselves will be abased. The Lord Jesus backed up his teaching with example, and he brings forward his own example as their guide. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The Lord Jesus came to be a servant, not so that he would gather so many around him to wait upon him and be his attendants, but he would stoop down and serve them and wait upon them. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And the Lord Jesus would give his entire life to this service. He would be willing to lay down his life for his sheep, for his friends, his people. But it was not only that he would be willing to give himself entirely to serving his people to the extent that he would be willing to lay down his life for them, just as a soldier would lay down his life for his countrymen. It was that, but there was more. He would give his life a ransom for many. His laying down his life involved purchasing their freedom as a ransom. A price was demanded, and he paid that price with his own blood. To give his life a ransom in the stead of many, as it is literally. Not merely for them, not merely in their behalf, but in their stead, in their room and place. He would give his life a ransom for many. The justice of God demands their death. Sinners are bound over in the chains, binding themselves over to the wrath of God. And what will the price be in order to free them from this terrifying curse? The justice of God demands their eternal punishment. What will be a sufficient ransom to pay for their release? Nothing less than the precious blood of him who is God, the Son of God, in human nature, the Son of Man, lays down his life, gives his life for their release, gives his life a ransom for many. Do you feel bound by the dominion of sin? A sin in your life you can't seem to free yourself from it? The Lord Jesus gives his life a ransom to free sinners from bondage to sin. Perhaps you feel imprisoned by Satan, tempting you to think all is hopeless, and you are ready to despair. The Lord Jesus frees sinners from Satan and his kingdom, to bring them over from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Do you feel bound in a legal way, the law pressing upon you your duty and giving you no relief? The law does not provide relief. The Ten Commandments will not provide relief. But the Lord Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. Sinners are bound in ruin, but he gives his life a ransom for their release. And with the Lord's help, let us think about, first of all, the ruin. Sinners are bound over in the chains, binding them over to sin and to Satan and to the sentence of condemnation. The ruin. And secondly, the ransom. The Lord Jesus lays down his life as payment to divine justice to set sinners free. The ransom. And thirdly, the release. Sinners are set free through the ransom paid by Christ. They are released from sin, Satan, and the sentence of condemnation. The ruin, the ransom, the release. First of all, the ruin. Sinners are bound over, held in bondage to sin. Sin is like a tyrant lording it over them. Do you feel bound to sin this morning? Do you not need deliverance from captivity to sin? The wages of sin is death. Sin is like a tyrant. It binds the sinner to its servitude, its slavery. We read in Romans chapter 5, sin hath reigned. Sin hath reigned unto death. And sinners are bound over to its dominion. Sin, that old tyrant sin, says, do this, and the sinner obeys. The tyrant sin says, go there, and the sinner goes there. Perhaps you are tempted to sin when the clerk at the shop is rude to you, and sinful self says, be angry, and you obey. You have to follow the dictates of your sinful passion, and you come out with retaliating words. Or sin says, look at these ungodly, these unclean scenes, and the sinner follows its sinful inclinations and follows his or her eyes and focuses upon that which is forbidden. And it's all in obedience to sin. Sin has dominion over the person. It's the principle of evil within. In Ephesians chapter 4, it is called the lusts of deceit. In the English version, it's deceitful lusts. It can be translated the lusts of deceit. And this principle of sin is deceitful. It deceives the sinner. So the sinner thinks that he or she will find pleasure and happiness in sinful ways. And indeed, the pleasures of sin, there are pleasures in sin, but they are only for a season. But the sinner feels that in these ways there will be satisfaction. And so they give themselves over to entertainment, and allowing their passions to rule. The rock music of today is such that the sinner feels that they will be liberated by their passions ruling and coming out with liberty. But all the while the sinner is in bondage. Yes, you may feel at liberty to try the various fads and fashions, and you might make great strides in tasting this pleasure and that pleasure, and feel that you have great freedom because you don't have the law binding you over. You're ignoring the law. You're taking your freedom in sin. All very well. But try to escape your sinful passions. Try to release yourself from your own inward tastes and inclinations, and you will feel that you are inextricably bound. Yes, the sinner is free. Free to choose according to his own inclinations. Free to will and embrace as he or she pleases. But here is the bondage, friend. Try to change what you please, and you cannot. You cannot change your own inclinations in regard to what is moral. You cannot change yourself and suddenly make yourself desire what is good and clean and holy. That therein consists the bondage of the man in willing. Not so much the bondage of the will, but the bondage of the man in willing. Yes, you can choose that, you couldn't choose this. And you know that you could have chosen this if you had so pleased, but you did not please to do so. You were absolutely free in doing so. You could have done so if you had so wished. But the point is, friend, You cannot change your inward wishes. You cannot change how you please. So you are bound. And you will never experience deliverance unless it is by the ransom price Christ paid. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lusts of the flesh bind men and women in chains to the dominion of sin that rules over them. Here is the ruin man is in by nature. And not only so, but man is bound and ruined to Satan, that old serpent, the devil, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And he blinds the minds of those that believe not. Here is his blinding, binding power. Think of that, friends. Satan binds by blinding. He keeps the sinner in captivity by deception. He is a real, deceitful tyrant. That old serpent, the devil, who seduced our first parents. Ye shall not surely die. He held men and women in bondage by demon possession in the New Testament era. The Lord Jesus wonderfully cast out devils, cast out demons. But today, in our day, the 21st century, Satan is still holding men and women bound in chains by deception. He brings before the mind of sinners the pleasures of the world and holds forth the bait. Look at these sinful attractions, these pleasures. Here is where you will truly have happiness. And he conceals the hook with that bait and blinds them to the reality that his ways lead to death. And he draws them swiftly, subtly into hell with himself. Satan is that liar from the beginning, binding men and women in chains. They are held in bondage by Satan. He is the god of this world. We can congratulate those who have made advances in technology. We can be thankful for these conveniences of modern life in the 21st century. But let us not think that Satan has no hand in pushing men with greed or whatever, and in other ways of his own interests. In all of the modern technology, especially in the entertainment industry, why? To keep men and women preoccupied, to ignore their latter end, to dazzle them with entertainment, with glossy advertisements and films and so on. We often hear our relatives just talking about commercials. Did you see that commercial? Did you see that one? That was hilarious, and so on. There is so much just to keep the mind occupied. And all the music of today, which Satan is binding men and women with in chains. We can put these things to good use, the various technological devices. But Satan, let us not ignore the fact that he makes use of everything he can to keep the sinner bound. He also blinds sinners by not only by distracting them with a multitude of cares and concerns and gadgets and entertainment, but he distracts the sinner with temptations, planting in their ears that the ways of the Lord Jesus are too difficult. And if you become a Christian, you will have to give up your pleasures. You will never be able to hold out to the end anyway. The path is just too narrow, too difficult. And he sometimes brings sinners to despair, thinking that salvation is hopeless. On the other hand, he may tempt the sinner to think that there just maybe will be another way out. If I don't embrace a Christianity in the strictness of it, perhaps things will just happen to work out in the end anyway. God is merciful, and surely the multitude cannot get it wrong. There must be another way in order for sinners to escape. And it is all the lie of Satan. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, the apostle says, cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. And sinners are disobedient when they do not obey the gospel call to come to Christ and submit to Him and follow Him in His ways. So the sinner is bound in ruin, bound over to sin, bound over to Satan, and bound over to the sentence of condemnation, the sentence of death. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The wages of sin is death. God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we give our lives over to vanity and sinful pleasures and just serving ourselves, it will all end in eternal ruin. Eternal ruin. There is temporal death. A man or woman may go on in this life and suffer from disease or heartache or disappointments in this life. And if he or she never embraces Christ, all of that suffering will end in the dissolution of soul and body. The body and the soul will separate. The soul will return to the Creator. The body will return to the dust. What a wasted life. That's temporal death. There is also spiritual death, and all of us come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. And think of the hopelessness of a life without Christ. The sinner aiming for satisfaction in the things of this world and never arriving at happiness because he or she is leaving Christ out of the life. At times, he or she will experience terrors of conscience and being given over to a reprobate mind, hardening the conscience, hardening the heart, and trying to suppress the silent, as it were, inward voice, thou shalt not, and getting over to a state of darkness from God, and to end all of that in eternal flames. That is eternal death, eternal separation from God, in the blackness of darkness forever. Temporal death, spiritual death, and eternal death. What friend will deliver you and me from such fearful bondage to sin, to Satan, and the sentence of condemnation? Shall I be more diligent at the means of grace? Yes, you should be. But will that serve as payment? Should I make a trip to the Holy Land? Should I climb a sacred flight of stairs? Will that let me off? Should I join a stricter group of Christians? Will that bring me heaven? What will serve as payment for the release from the chains of sin and Satan and the sentence of condemnation? Are you longing for deliverance? When your soul is drawing near to the grave and your life to the destroyers, are you not longing for a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show you a way of escape, to hear a voice, the voice of God, who is gracious and says, deliver him from going down to the pit I have found a ransom. Yes, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. We have considered the ruin. Let us go on to consider the ransom. The sinner will be released from sin, Satan, and the sentence of condemnation only by the ransom price Christ paid when he gave his life, his blood, a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus pays the price for the release of sinners. Yes, sinners are bound over primarily to the claims of divine justice and the law of God. The sinner is bound over to the claim of divine justice, the justice of God, which demands the death, the eternal death of the sinner. God is holy and he hates sin. God is just and must punish sin. And therefore, the law announces the curse. The law pronounces the curse upon every sinner who comes short in just a little. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. God is holy and just. And the sinner deserves everlasting punishment. And therefore, if the sinner would have release, if the sinner would be set free from sin, Satan, and the sentence of death, a price must be paid. And what will suffice? Perhaps someone would think that the sacrifices of the Old Testament, were they not sufficient? Well, Paul says that the blood of goats and calves can never take away sin. After all, the blood of goats and calves, that is an irrational creature. And man is a rational agent. He thinks, he chooses, he feels, he embraces, he rejects. Irrational beasts cannot take away sin. What about a human being who is holy, a mere human being, a man with a body and a soul? Will that suffice to pay the ransom price? But this merely human being is finite. Yes, he has a rational soul, but he owes obedience to God, and every act of obedience that he can perform is due to God, simply because he is one of God's creatures. The very fact that you exist, friend, means that you owe obedience to God who made you. You are his property. You belong to him by creation. You owe everything to him. You cannot obey extra and earn a little more credit to do something good for you later on. It's not like earning money and storing it in a bank. You have nothing. You owe everything to God. You owe your best to God. And therefore, no earthly human being can obey in your place, because he owes everything to God anyway. What about an angel? Those supernatural beings that excel in might, who are so holy. If they would obey, if they would suffer, if they would lay down their lives, would that suffice? No, because they are created finite beings as well, and they owe all their obedience to God too. What will suffice to pay the price to set sinners free from the justice of God? Divine justice demands eternal punishment. Because our sin, friend, must be measured by the greatness of the being against whom we have sinned. We sin against our neighbor. We do wrong to someone who is equal to us. But if we sin against God, God is infinitely above us. How can we measure the greatness of our sin? We cannot, because we cannot measure the greatness of God, who is infinite. And because God, against whom we have sinned, is infinite in his being, our sin has a proportionately unsearchable demerit in it. We cannot measure the greatness of our sin because we cannot measure the greatness of God, against whom we have sinned. And therefore, how can we measure the greatness of the sacrifice and the ransom that is to be paid to set sinners free from being bound over to sin? But let the ransom be divine. And then the perfect price prescribed is paid. God sets the sinners free from divine justice because here is a ransom that is divine. Let Godhead put on our nature. Let the Son of God become the Son of Man. And the exact demand is met. We cannot measure the value of the infinitely valuable sacrifice of Christ. His sacrifice, his ransom, has infinite value, infinite merit. And therefore, the infinite justice of God is satisfied through this payment. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life, the life of him who is God, in our nature, a ransom for many. Therefore, through his blood, the justice of God is satisfied. Here is where sinners will be released. Released from sin, Satan, and the sentence of death. Are you not longing for deliverance, friend? Well then, look to Jesus for that deliverance. Look to him who is willing to lay down his life. He came not to be served, but to serve. And here is the greatest service to humanity that there is, when the Lord Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. He must be man. He is the Son of Man. He must be so if he would suffer and die and lay down his life a ransom. Because God, absolutely considered, cannot suffer. God is infinite. He cannot suffer pain. He cannot die. He is self-existent. He has the power of being in himself. He has life in himself. He is the fountain of life. So the one who would take our place and suffer for us must be man, that he might suffer and die. But he also must be God. He must be God that his obedience and sufferings might be given infinite value. Again, a mere human being suffering in our place would not be able to satisfy divine justice, because the justice of God demands eternal punishment. Therefore, the obedience and sacrifice that would be in our stead must be divine, must have infinite value, and therefore, Christ, our mediator, who lays down his life for ransom for many, must be both God and man. God and man. In these two distinct natures, divine nature and human nature, distinct, not mixed together, entire distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, inseparably united, inseparably joined together, in one person. So the one who suffers for sinners is one person in two natures. Look to him by faith, see him on the cross, pierced in his hands and feet, and be still and know that he is God. And recall, friend, that the one who is ruling over the universe, in whom you live and move and have your being, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, is man. He has a human nature like yours and mine. And therefore, what hope there is for us. As it has been said before, the dust of this world sits upon the throne of the universe. What a thought. But here is one who is called, or we should say, who calls himself the Son of Man, and who gives his life a ransom for many. For even the Son of Man, one who has your nature and mine, came not to be served, but to serve, and to provide the greatest service of all by giving his life a ransom for many. He comes to do the will of God most willingly. He delights to do God's will. He voluntarily gives himself over in obedience to God to do his will. He comes to give his life. Being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He takes upon himself the form of a servant, and he becomes obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He comes to be a servant. What service he provides when he teaches the multitude. No doubt there were sinners hungering and thirsting after sound teaching. They wanted to know how to live their lives. They were begging for a teacher, an interpreter, one among the thousand, to show man his uprightness. And they were like Mary, who were sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, and they were being served. The Lord Jesus was serving them by teaching them. He was also serving them by healing them. He came to provide, not only for the needs of our souls, but for our bodies as well. And he comforts his hearers by assuring them that if God clothes the lily of the fields, he will clothe them as well. And he stoops down to wash the disciples' feet. He shows them a pattern of self-denying service. He volunteers, he gives his life in service. And even on the cross, we see not only was he providing service by dying, but even on the cross he was serving. Yes, he was doing good to those around him, and he was praying for those who were persecuting him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the cross he assures his mother, or ensures that his mother will have a place provided for her. And on the cross, he provides this service as well, assuring the thief on the cross that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus was suffering on the cross for sinners. For sinners bound over to the dominion of sin, he was bearing their sin. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For sinners bound over to Satan, he came to set them free. Remember in the synagogue he had said, or he was quoting Isaiah, and he was reading that chapter where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That is what he came for. And he would do so. He would set sinners free from that captivity by being brought, as it were, into captivity himself. And he would suffer the assaults of the evil one. Yes, it was their hour and the power of darkness. As John Kennedy says, Dr. Kennedy, who can conceive what it was to him with his perfect sensitiveness to all that was spiritual, and with his perfect abhorrence of all that was unholy, to have hosts of spirits actually assailing him, to distract him with all the disquiet which it was in their power to cause. Their very nearness, the nearness of these devils, when made felt, was agony, and in the felt weakness of human nature, it was an experience of affliction which was unspeakably sore. He was actually in conflict with the powers of darkness. Why? To deliver sinners from the prison house of Satan. For sinners under the wrath of God, the Lord Jesus came to set them free by paying that ransom price with his own blood. You and I deserve the fearful curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yes, he hung on the cross, the wood of the tree of the cross. And by doing so, by being made a curse, he exhausted the curse. He has drained the curse. And there is no more curse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He has taken away the curse by being made a curse. He has taken away sin by bearing sin. He has set sinners free from Satan and foiled Satan and destroyed him that had the power of death by dying that death that sinners deserve. And so he has set sinners free. He cries on the cross, "It is finished." And because he paid the price, because he gave his life a ransom, therefore, for sinners like you and me, there is release. Let us go on then in the third place to think about this release and to seek it. Pray for it, that we ourselves might experience this freedom, freedom from sin, Satan, and the sentence of death, freedom from the dominion of sin, that old tyrant that rules over the sinner, freedom from Satan who blinds and binds sinners by deception, and free from the curse of the law, the sentence of condemnation. Let us seek this freedom. The Lord Jesus fully paid the price. He fully discharges the debt of all those for whom he died. They are perfectly justified. They are emancipated from the sentence of condemnation. They are justified. That is, they are pardoned. They are accepted. They are brought into fellowship with God. No longer is there this enmity and this distance. But through the death of Christ, there is reconciliation. And Paul the Apostle says, "Be ye reconciled to God, accept the reconciliation, as it were the peace treaty is signed, and as it were the pen is put in your hand, sign the peace treaty." In other words, accept what Christ has purchased. Embrace the offer of mercy. Be reconciled to God, accept this reconciliation. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look to him, friend, that you might be set free, not only from the sentence of death, but from Satan himself. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Isaiah 49, verse 25. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. They will be set free. Satan will no longer be allowed to deceive the sinner. The strong man armed, he will be bound, and he will be expelled from the castle of your heart. Look to him for that deliverance. The Lord Jesus spoke about or actually he healed a woman who was bound over for 18 years. We read in Luke chapter 13, and it was on the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus went about to do good, and he healed even on the Sabbath day. Luke chapter 13. And we read in verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. The Lord Jesus had power on earth, power to heal the body, and power to forgive sin, and power, he has power still, to release sinners from the prison house of Satan. The Lord God appointed him for that, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue was indignant. He had healed on the Sabbath day. Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And will you not receive the Spirit on the Sabbath day, friend? Look to the Lord. He is able to send His Spirit to work liberating power in you and to free you from the chains that Satan would bind you with by deceiving you and causing you to despair. Look to the Lord Jesus. He has come to set the sinner free from Satan. There is hope for you. And the Lord Jesus is that hope. Come to Him. You have sold yourselves for naught. And you will be redeemed without money. It is absolutely free. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters of he that hath no money. The Lord Jesus has paid the price. He has the payment, the ransom, in His own precious blood. And salvation is offered to you absolutely free. Then do not reject. Do not keep your fist clenched. Open up the hand of your soul and receive the gift. Receive what is freely offered. Embrace what is communicated to you through the word of the truth of the gospel. And look to Him that you would be set free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do not forget that if you allow yourself to go on in sin and think that you will have pleasure in sin and freedom in sin, that by that very procedure you are hardening your heart under the dominion of sin. Do not forget, friend, that if you allow yourself to embrace the vain ways of the world, you are letting Satan keep his grip on you. And every temptation you embrace, it's as if you are inhaling that sin. It must be breathed out again by a tighter constriction of the old serpent, the devil, keeping you tightly within his evil coils. And there is no hope of escape when you will be finally dragged into hell with the devil, bound over to the chains of sin, Satan, and the sentence of death forever and ever. Then look to the Lord Jesus for release. Look to Him now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Look to the Lord Jesus now, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And the service that He calls you to, friend, is not a service of bondage. It's a service of liberty. The Lord's people know this. They have been released from the dominion of sin. They have been released from the blinding, binding power of Satan. They have found Christ precious. They have found the ransom. They have been released in their souls. And now, do you know what they feel? They have been released from sin, and they feel bound to Christ, bound to serve Him. They feel, in other words, indebted to Him. But it's a debt that they love, and they are willing to give themselves over to service to Him in His spiritual kingdom, a kingdom wherein greatness is characterized by service. True honor is humble. And like Paul the Apostle, they serve the Lord with all humility of mind. This is what they are predestinated for, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that they also might be willing to lay down their lives for the brethren. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord's people love the Lord's people. They serve the Lord's people. They give themselves over to various kinds of service, and they are looking to Jesus for light and guidance, looking to Him Himself primarily as the perfect pattern to follow, the one who is meek and lowly in heart. And by following Him, they will not only receive rest that He gives, but they will find rest in the process. They will discover more rest to their souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find. You will discover. You will meet rest on the way by following the example of Christ in meekness and lowliness. Let us not be afraid to stoop and to serve the people of God. For in so doing, we are Christ-like. We follow His example in His spiritual kingdom. Let our prayer be as it is in Psalm 116. O Lord, I am Thy servant. Thou hast loosed my bonds. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. May He bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord, may we truly be Thy servants. May we experience liberation from the tyranny of sin. May we be thankful to Thee that Thou art the strong man, stronger than the strong man armed, and able to bind Satan. And as the promise and the truth is of Thy word, the Lord Jesus, through death, destroys him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivers them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Thou art able to do a great work, increase our faith, enable us to believe that Thou art able to set sinners free, even today, even on the Sabbath day, that Satan would no longer bind them, but that Christ would have another soul in His kingdom, and that there would be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Be with each one of us. Cleanse away all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 130. Psalm 130, reading from verse 1. Lord, from the depths to Thee I cry. My voice, Lord, do Thou hear. Unto my supplication's voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if Thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with Thee forgiveness is, let fear Thou mayest be. I wait for God, my soul doth wait. My hope is in His word. More than they that for morning watch, my soul waits for the Lord. I say, more than they that do watch the morning light to see. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with him mercies be, and plenteous redemption is ever found with him, and from all his iniquities he, Israel, shall redeem. We will sing from verse 5. Psalm 130 from verse 5 to the end of the psalm, to God's praise. I wait for God, my soul doth wait.
I wait for
Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. and the services next Sabbath at the usual times, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. All the Lord willing, let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Okay.
Is there